It's great to be with you all.
As you already heard at the start, I was the one who got volunteered.
I wouldn't say I volunteered, but more I was conscripted in, some might say, as a sacrificial lamb. But it's great to be with you all and to share the Word of God with you. And as we look at I'm not going to go straight into the passage. I gave Toby a very long passage with some difficult words just to make it nice for him, as I had been volunteered in other ways. I thought for one moment, when Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani wasn't on there, I thought you were going to skip it. But I was pleased that you didn't. And as I look at this passage, as we hone in, as we remember all that Jesus has done, I want to look at three distinct areas to start with, which is the response of the relationship between the crowds of people and Jesus. Secondly, the relationship between Jesus and his disciples. And then lastly, in this area, the relationship between Jesus and the Father. And then we'll move on to look at the impact of Jesus upon our world. You see, when we read through the Gospels and as we look back in the story, we see that the crowd, at a point, they didn't just know who Jesus was. They actively sought him out. They followed him. They looked for him. They were wanting to hear what he would teach them. They were going to him for healing, for deliverance, to see what he would say, that he was a wise man that could bring transformation into lives that had been so broken. The crowd are an interesting bunch of people. They suddenly gather round to just hear what Jesus would say. Not necessarily close to him, but they were there. And as we journey along this story, can you imagine how Jesus felt at the betrayal of the crowd? The crowd that once shouted and wanted him to be there, to hear his words, to hear his deliverance, to see his healings, to see his miracles, betrayed him. And you hear them shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" I wonder how Jesus would have felt in that moment. I wonder whether there were people he had healed present in that crowd. I wonder whether there are people who were delivered who were in that same crowd, and still they shouted, "Crucify him." The crowd was feeble. It was fickle. It was easily swayed. Jesus went from hero to hated. And there was a blood-chilling atmosphere as it grew in its noise against him. You would imagine, abandoned by this group, he could surely count on his disciples, couldn't he? His disciples. These were his close friends. He'd spent loads of time with them. He'd been with them for 3 years. He'd poured his life into them. They'd eaten together. He'd taught them the ways of the Father. He'd given them his time. He'd given them wisdom. And he trusted them. He'd loved. He'd joked. He'd corrected and got exasperated with them. He had listened to their questions. He'd released them to minister. They'd see Jesus do miracles. They'd saw blind people see. Lame men walk. Those who weren't in their right mind delivered. Surely, this group of people who he gave his life to, this set of friends who spent their time together, surely in the moment of betrayal by the crowd, surely, but surely, the disciples would be at his side in his time of his greatest need. People say in our world today, you find out who your friends are when the going gets tough. Thank goodness Jesus didn't apply that to us. Jesus, when he was in the garden, he was going off to pray and he asked them to pray with him. And as he prayed, they fell asleep in his most serious hour of need. The disciples fell asleep. And he came back and he said, "Can you not just pray with me for an hour?" And he went back into prayer. And he came back to find his disciples asleep. We often, when we talk about the disciples, when we come to the period, we remember Peter and how he was there and he was surrounded and he was by a fire and he denied Jesus three times. We know Judas betrayed Jesus, but Peter denied Jesus. But we don't very often speak of the others who seem to be non-existent at one of the most radical instances in history. It's easy to criticize Peter, but where was everyone else? Where were his friends? Where were the ones that had counted on him? I think it's one thing to feel abandoned and betrayed by a crowd who don't really know you. I think it's a very much more painful thing to feel abandoned and alone from people who you've given your life to, who you've spent so much time with, who you've poured yourself into for their benefit. It's a very different story. The emotional pain that he must have felt. I wonder whether he looked for them. You see, it hurts so much more when the closest to us wound us. Jesus, already feeling abandoned and betrayed and rejected and despised by the crowd, must have felt isolated, rejected, and abandoned as he faced the torture of his beating and the turmoil of his cross. And in this account, we don't hear that one of his disciples, just one, would stand by him, would be there in his hour of need. And then we come to what I think must have been even more difficult than his disciples disowning him, not even turning up. We read in the passage, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came all over all the land, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out. The Father was the one that he turned to. Even when the disciples were there and they didn't pray, he also had his Father who he could seek and he could relate to and he could just pour his heart out to. And the Bible tells us that, from my understanding, as he became sin, God could not look upon him in the same way. He became our sin for us. And in this moment, in a loud voice, he cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because of the holiness of God, he couldn't look on his Son in the same way. Jesus would have never, ever experienced that in his life before.
Can you imagine?
We've had the crowd. We've had the disciples. But as he became sin, to think that there was a separation between his intimate relationship with his Father. It must have felt like the whole world had turned against him. Everything that was once for him, everyone who seemed to be once for him, had turned their back. He was beaten. Flesh was ripped off his body as they whipped him. Blood poured from him. The pain, the angst he must have felt. He'd done no wrong of his own. But he took on our sin. He took on our shame that we might go free. He suffered the death of a criminal in a world that he came to save. Isaiah 53 tells us he was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. And as I think about the crowd, and as I think specifically about the disciples, I know that I may not have been there. But I could so easily, and am definitely one of those disciples who at points in my life has betrayed Jesus, who has tried to hide my face from the truth of what he has done and who he is. That it was a consequence of my own sin that he was punished. I want to ask you, the Jesus that was beaten beyond all recognition, the Jesus who hung on the cross, will you look at him tonight? Will you look at your lives and the areas that God knows are there that he wants to change? Or will you hide your faces from what God wants to do in you? It's an uncomfortable fact that his suffering brought my freedom. And then as we go down in the passage after we see, and he comes to that moment where he breathes his last. And in verse 50 it says, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit." Jesus chose to take the way of the cross that you and I may go free. And then there's a transition, there's a change in this story. And it says in verse 51, "At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split." Jesus' death is still the most cataclysmic thing that has ever happened to this earth and ever will. Amen? Jesus' death tore the veil that we may enter into an intimate relationship with the Father, free from any shame, free from any rejection or anything else. The things that so easily hold us back, He put an end to the fact that they used to slaughter lambs and everything else by his righteous act. The veil was torn. He did it that we might go free. The earth shook and the rocks split. We don't have very many earthquakes here, but I should imagine it was quite a moment where people unaware would have felt the tremors of the earth shaking as the power of God revealed the glory of his Son. And then we read a passage that, to be honest, I read it and I think that's quite interesting. It's never recorded in any of the other Gospels, but I quite like it. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Wow! And then it says, they came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. I don't know about you, but when I read scripture, I have a few questions. What did they do in between? Resurrected people walking around isn't a common occurrence. They'd been long dead and they'd been raised to life. And that's the story of every one of us who knows Jesus. That we were long dead, but Jesus has raised us to life. That there is hope, that there is freedom for us because he was willing. Because he opened a way for us that we could never have made ourselves. He was perfect in life. He was perfect in death. Even in Jesus' death, there was resurrection power. How awesome is our God? I don't know that you're getting this. People were dead. They'd been dead a long while. Jesus died, and at that moment, they suddenly rose from the dead. We remember Jesus' rising, but this is a very interesting rising as well. Because God's power causes something to happen. And I'm reminded as I read these scriptures of John's Gospel. And Jesus' words, where he said, I tell you the truth. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. We, here, thousands of years later, are the many seeds of Jesus. The barrier between humanity and true intimate relationship with the Father is broken. And more than that, Jesus, knowing our frailties, knowing our weaknesses, knowing our faithlessness, knowing that he had been rejected, knowing that he had been abandoned, knowing that no one was there when he needed them, he returns to the disciples who had denied him, who had left him to suffer alone. And he gave to them the mission of spreading the gospel and the kingdom in all the earth. We are trophies of God's grace. We are children that were ransomed by him. But we're forgiven. He's come that we may have life to the full. He came that we wouldn't stay where we were. He chose the way of death that we may have life. And life evermore. So as I come to a close, I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to picture the Jesus who was beaten beyond recognition. The one with the crown of thorns on his head, blood spilling from his body, with flesh ripped out. And I want you to ask yourself, maybe we didn't live in those times, but do we say that we're too busy with other things to give ourselves for Jesus? Is he the most centrally important thing in my life and in your life? And maybe you've been bruised, maybe you've been rejected, maybe you've been abandoned. He knows your pain. But he lays the challenge down to us. Will we follow his example and lay down our lives for the sake of others? He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that we can walk in the freedom that he's brought to us, not under condemnation, but in liberty, not in sin, but in righteousness, not in turmoil, but in his peace. Father, help us to remember how much it costs Jesus that we may live our lives daily, dying to ourselves and living unto God for the extension of his kingdom. Not that we'll be perfect, but that we know that there's a bigger purpose that we live for than for our own gain. Remind us. Reveal afresh to us who know this story so well the wonder, the miracle, the awe of Jesus in our life and him crucified for us. Amen.